Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown, Mike Evans! Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
Mike gave it away. He goes, man, I'm sorry.
You, Chris Brockman, yes. Say...
The Rich Eisen Show.
...that the fan should have held out for more.
Get him a helmet or a couple jerseys or some other stuff.
What's $500,000 to Tom Brady? The Bucks could scratch that check and get the ball back for him.
Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, plus your phone calls and more. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I'm your humble host. It's all sunshiny back here again in Los Angeles, California.
I was right with the world.
Our cup is half full. It's a beautiful sky. And Joe Flacco's a Jet again.
Hey! Come on. You're happy, right? Is he going to start this week?
Patrick Mahomes on the show today.
Oh, hey. Let's talk more about Joe Flacco.
Let's not say we did, as a phrase I use quite a bit in summer camp.
Sorry, Rich Eisen.
What's up, Brockman?
Is he going to wear number five?
How are you, Del Tufo? What's going on?
Well,
TJ Jefferson was barefoot. He was barefoot about 2 minutes ago. And he finally decided to put his shoes on today.
Well, I got some new Jordans, Rich.
Are they worth $1.7 million?
They are not yet. Okay. But, you know, we'll take some bids. So I couldn't walk in. I couldn't walk on the street with these.
Slippers.
You know what I'm saying? So bad.
Yeah, that's about $1.7 million. That's about, what, 20 bids? 20 Bitcoin?
Yeah,
21
like
Bitcoin?
Yeah.
22 Bitcoin?
Depends what the price is.
I don't know. So the Rich, guy who got really Brady's fluctuates. Football needs about 21 more Bitcoin for that. Okay. Hey, how are you, everybody? 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on NBC Sports on Peacock and NBC Sports Audio on Sirius XM. This Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio station. We're streaming live on Odyssey coast to coast. For your ear gate, we're going to have our podcast all set and ready for you. If you missed any part of the show, once we're done, all three hours on Cumulus Podcast Network and our YouTube feed, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for anything that you missed. Also, our Twitter handle at Rich Eisen Show. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Really, we're unavoidable is basically what I'm saying. And why would you want to avoid us? We're having a good time here. And you should please call us at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Five alarm situation. DEFCON. What's the DEFCON?
Well, one is bad.
Is bad.
One
okay.
Is
DEFCON
bad.
One.
Yeah.
It's DEFCON one. It's five alarm. In the great, beautiful Emerald City of Seattle, the NFC West standings right now. The Seattle Seahawks, through 7 weeks, are 5 games out. Yeesh. That is an astounding number. Yeesh. 7 weeks. 5 games out behind an Arizona Cardinals team that would absolutely take the Seattle Seahawks right now, place them over their knee, and spank them. Not once, but Jeff Saturday twice. And, well, I mean, that's what I heard on the Manning cast last night. And that's a problem for the Seattle Seahawks because there's also, you know, the Los Angeles Rams in that division. They're 6-1. I will always do the math for you. They're 4 games behind that team through 7 weeks. And they had a way out last night. It was right there. The way out was mapped out. Win a Monday night home game. Home game at night for Seattle. That used to be a wrap, just getting off the bus. just getting out, you know, I guess it's home. So just getting out of their cars in the team garage right next door to the stadium. I mean, that's it. That used to be a wrap. 12s get all whipped up and you can't hear, you can't even think because you can't hear what you're thinking, and that's a wrap. Just win that home game at night, turn around, beat a Jaguars team that, yes, coming off of a bye week, but has just one win. Trevor Lawrence has been in some hostile stadiums before in the ACC, but not like this. And then you're back to 500. Then you're on your own bye week, after which Russell Wilson could be ready. It was all set up right then and there. But they just couldn't do much at all last night. There was one, what would you say? It wasn't a broken play because the play was run as intended. It was a broken down defensive play for the Saints. It was one.
He did kind of bust through the two guys.
Right. DK Metcalf, just throw it up to DK and make him make a play. And then they didn't do that the rest of the night. He had one catch. It was his one catch in the night.
They said, I think what I saw was at one point that play went for 84 yards. Yes. DK Metcalf touchdown. Geno Smith in the fourth quarter, the rest of his pass plays went for 83 yards.
Well, they had the 2 years ago Jimmy G NFC Championship game plan going on, like the 49ers had.
Yeah.
Or I guess the division series and then the NFC Championship game for 2 years ago, which is like, let's hand it off and let's have Jimmy throw it like six times. That's
right,
it.
Right, right.
Well, hands on 10 and 2, because we just don't know where the ball's going to go when it's out of his hands. And we trust him, sure. We believe in him, sure. But we're still going to hand it off most of the time. And that's what happens quite a bit when you have a backup quarterback in there, man.
Yeah, kicker misses some field goals.
That's true.
You know, that doesn't help.
Well, DK did have another catch, my bad. And there was another target towards the end of the night, too. It was the last play where Rich Eisen's show guest on Monday, DeMario Davis, he lit it up, man. 10 tackles, awesome, yeah. 4 for loss, 2 sacks, hit the quarterback 3 times, and then the old PD pass defended. That was the one at the end of the game where you almost picked it off and just couldn't hold on it all the way to the ground. It didn't matter. It was the end of the game. And
DeMario probably wanted to call in before every game.
Yeah, I know, but right? That's what we call Rich Eisen show bump. And the Seahawks are in deep, deep trouble. Well, even with looking at the wild card, as I was doing, attempting to do for the 2-4 49ers, just one game behind a Minnesota team coming off a bye week hosting Dallas, which we need to keep an eye on Dak's calf now that it's game week. And Jerry Jones was talking about that today. We'll do our best to chase down that sound, as we say in the television business. But you're looking up at pretty much everybody else in the NFC that's got more than one win. I mean, it is a brutal scenario for Seattle right now that has to lean on Pete Carroll's perennial sunny disposition. And somehow Geno's got to out-duel Trevor Lawrence. I did say those words out loud.
What year?
And that's the, you know, they are in a full-on one game at a time mentality. And it has to turn around. There's just no other way to put it. It has to turn around for them. Because they made a trade for a safety, not a quarterback, not a defensive lineman, not an offensive lineman, not a running back, a safety. They made that trade, and it's the only good thing happening to the Jets season right now is the fact that Seattle is staring at a top 5 draft choice, and that belongs to the Jets for Jamal Adams. That's literally the only good thing happening for the New York Jets right now is what's happening in Seattle. Because the Seahawks are staring into the abyss right now.
Yeah, Rich, that pick currently the number 8th overall.
That's a top 10 pick. Could be top 5 if Russ somehow has complications with that finger.
Jets also have the 4th overall pick their own.
Seattle doesn't have a first-round choice to fix whatever's happening right now. They are in deep trouble. As for the New Orleans Saints, what a remarkable 4-2 this is. let's not forget, we talked about it with Demario Davis yesterday. This team was blown out to start the season by a hurricane. They were blown out of their facility. They're blown out of their home state. They're blown out, period. And Sean Payton, man, who is your preseason coach of the year choice, whatever they do there to keep everybody focused and on the same page, I'm telling you what, man, the fact that this team has won four of its first six when they were practicing in Texas leading up to their home opener in Jacksonville. And, yeah, there were two losses, including the one only game they played in the Superdome this year. And they played Carolina in the last game that Carolina had McCaffrey healthy for the entire game. And they unfortunately found Carolina at their high point of this their season right now. But they're 4-2. And Jameis Winston has played four consecutive games with zero turnovers.
Ooh.
If you added up all of his zero turnover games in his final two seasons with the Buccaneers in 2018 and 2019, it would equal the number of consecutive turnoverless games he's had as a Saint right now, four. He had four such games in two seasons combined in Tampa, his final two there. And he has cleaned it up here with the Saints. And they've done all this without Michael Thomas, without their best wide receiver. Because Jameis is not making the mistakes. It doesn't look pretty. But guess what? I don't see any photographs in the standings at 4-2. And now they go home and have an opportunity to beat the Bucs and get just one game out of the division lead. And then they face the Falcons, who have now won three straight. They're right behind the Saints. They have a chance to make some hay over the next 2 weeks. And laugh all you want. Jameis going to beat the Bucs? Really? Is he going to really do that? Like, offensively, they only scored one touchdown yesterday. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to make sure Alvin Kamara doesn't go off. Okay, sounds good. I keep telling everybody, hopefully everyone will hear me, the Saints have an offensive guru as the head coach. We talk about their vaunted offense all the time because of Sean Payton and his longstanding relationship with Drew Brees. This is a defensive team in offensive guru clothing. It's about that Saints D. And that Saints D was about it last night. Sure. Against a backup quarterback? Yep. Week 7 ended with a backup quarterback being pounded, and they were lucky to get that 10th point because of an Adam Trautman late game, second half turnover deep in his own end. Doesn't matter if you're a backup quarterback and your team defensively pounds them. That's what you're supposed to do. Ask the Denver Broncos how it worked out for them to kick off week 7 against a backup quarterback. Yep. Sure. You know, you could say, well, D'Ernest Johnson did something. Alex Collins was running the ball last night, too. The Saints defense is no joke, man. And don't forget what they did against Tom Brady the last time they saw him in a regular season, in his own house. Different team, different times, totally get it. They're going to be buying all of that this week, and Sean Payton's going to get them whipped up. Saints are one of the most impressive teams of the league so far this year, I think. They're 4-2, and we completely overlook them because the Bucs are who they are, and that's the division that they're in. And we're, you know, completely enamored, and rightfully so, with the Packers, who have now won six straight after losing week one, the lone remaining undefeated team in the NFL, in first place above another 6-1 team. Cowboys coming off their bye week. We're all looking at those shiny objects while the Saints just keep on keeping on. Now they're back home in the New Orleans Superdome, back-to-back against division opponents. They can make some hay. I'm excited for you Saints fans out there. And speaking of the Packers, how about Devontae Adams is now on the COVID-19 list? in advance of that Thursday night game. I know that he needs a couple of negative tests in a row because he's vaccinated in order to play on Thursday as somebody who has had a breakthrough case of COVID-19. All I can say is I hope that was a false positive for Davante Adams, because if he's got it, he's not playing Thursday. And that changes the tenor of things for sure.
Big time.
How much? We'll talk about it with Daniel Jeremiah in just a matter of moments. Patrick Mahomes is on our guest list today.
Hey.
I thought, you know, we were going back and forth, and he was booked for our show. Right. And, you know, we call it a soft booking, because when that booking comes in while he's playing, anything can happen. And then when I watched him get that knee to his face mask in Tennessee, I thought, you know, maybe he might be in a concussion protocol for the week, but he's already cleared it, and he's calling into the show.
Showtime.
Indeed.
Showtime.
I know, and I will just say this to you, Chris.
Yeah, because I saw you guys talking about it on Game Day Morning.
About the Patrol?
Yeah.
I'm going back and forth as to whether or not to use this real estate for that.
All right.
So you understand, I'm not always about that, you know?
Well, that's good to hear.
I'm a professional as well.
Well, you're growing.
I thank you.
Brockman's head will explode if you bring that up.
It's already exploding because, you know, he knows the price of Bitcoin, and he still thinks the guy should ask for more from Tom Brady. The Manning cast was, as always, a fascinating watch. We'll review that, as always. Mike Tomlin on the list of USC.
Why not?
Why not? Why not, indeed? Let's put Nick Saban on it, unless this is, you know, our buddy Carson Palmer went on the show that precedes this one every single day, Dan Patrick Show on Peacock and Sirius XM Channel 211. He went on the show yesterday. We didn't have much time to discuss that when it was in full immediate bloom, but we've had a day to marinate on it. We'll hit on that. Mike Florio will join us in hour number three. He was on the Westwood One Monday Night Football halftime show with me last night. 1 week from today is the trade deadline in the National Football League. So the clock is now ticking on whether Deshaun Watson gets moved. I'll be honest with you. I hear two different things. I hear everyone's going to be scared away by the unknown.
That's what Peter Schrager said.
What, the known unknowns, to use the Rumsfeld phrase from back in the day? What are the known unknowns? There's a lot of known unknowns, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. With Deshaun Watson. Will everyone be scared on that front and not make the move? And then there's another bunch of folks who are telling me it can happen any minute. Jeez. Like literally in the middle of this sentence, you could turn to me and say, Rich, we have a trade. Like that's what I'm hearing.
Wow.
So Mike Florio will join us in hour number three to either, you know, confirm or deny or whatever the phraseology of folks in his end of our NFL media business use. That's coming up in hour number three. So there's lots to discuss with Mike in hour three, Patrick Mahomes, hour two. But when we come back, Daniel Jeremiah on what is happening in Cincinnati. Can that happen in New York? As you know, I'm hoping happens with the Jets one day. What happened last night? All that and more with the great DJ when we come back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Lots to talk about now that week 7 is in the books. We're already into the second third of the longest regular season ever And you've got Arizona and Cincinnati, your current top seeds in the NFC and AFC, respectively. And this man watches a ton of tape because, you know, he's one of the best at that. From the NFL Media Group, he also calls Chargers games locally here in Los Angeles. He sees a ton of football, and I love chatting with him. At Move the Sticks on Twitter and Instagram, my buddy Daniel Jeremiah back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, DJ?
I'm doing great, Rich. What's going on, man?
What did you think of last night's Monday Night Football game, Daniel? What do you take from
that? I was very thankful for the Peyton Eli watch last night. That's why that broadcast is perfect, because you can get kind of a stinker of a game, and yet it's still entertaining. Just listen to those guys, especially when Drew Brees got on there, just telling stories. Tom was great when he was on there. So I was much more entertained by the conversation than I was whatever was taking place on the field.
How do you think defensive players take Tom calling him like dogs chasing chasing a car or a meat truck or something like that? What do you think?
As an offensive guy, I loved it because I thought it was hilarious. We used to always joke in draft meetings, Rich. We'd be in there, and we'd be talking about a defensive lineman, and a scout might go, but we have some, there's some questions about his, learning issues or, intelligence, this, that, or the other. And I remember one of the old scouts in the room saying, look, it's shade right, shade left. Get up the field. It ain't that hard. Okay, let's not pretend like we need to have Albert Einstein playing defensive line now.
And what do you think? What do you think Jeff Saturday thinks when he hears Manning say he'd like the double tap?
Banking?
Yeah, the double butt tap. He'd like the double butt tap in a silent snap count. What do you think? Wherever Saturday was sitting.
I think there was probably a subtle chuckle. I think he probably got a little chuckle out of that.
So where do the Saints?
But it was better. I mean, are we crazy? That was better than the game.
You know what? I do love the Manning cast, Daniel. I really do. My kids missed it too. They were like, "Oh, they're back on." You know, like they came strolling into the room and they.
Marshawn
saw.
Lynch dropped an F bomb.
Yeah, he did.
Like, come on.
I mean, Marshawn did drop the F bomb. So that these things happen when you put Marshawn on live television. I mean,
of course.
So that's your motive of viewing choice. During Monday.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've enjoyed that. No, I missed I'm always picking up my son from junior high football, so I always miss a good portion of the first half of the game. So I missed the Marshawn stuff.
Yeah.
But then I got in and watched the rest. Probably good, because my wife probably would have got vetoed on that.
Earmuffs. Earmuffs.
Channel,
yes. Earmuffs and Skittles when he was on. So where do the Saints go from here? I said to open the show that the fact that they're 4-2, everything that they've gone through with Michael Thomas, we assume, on the horizon to return, I still don't know what they're, what they are on offense with just Jameis dumping it off to Kamara. That's unstoppable, it seemed last night. What is your more eye in the sky, all 22 assessment of what the Saints are and who they are?
Well, I think they are still a dangerous team, and I think you saw, Davenport, I thought was impressive last night with his speed-power combination. We know what Cam Jordan is. I think Passanio had a sack. They've got a chance to have a defensive front that can kind of keep you in just about every game. So that's encouraging from that side of things. And you hope Michael Thomas gets back. You have just enough offense. Now, I don't think if they were to find themselves in shootouts with the, the Cowboys or the Bucks in a postseason atmosphere that's going to end well for them. But I don't think they're going to play many shootouts. I think their defense has a chance to keep them in just about every game. I still think the Bucks are the class, of that division. But I think the Saints can be a playoff team. It's not going to be as easy on the eyes as it's been in years past with Drew Brees, but that's Sean Payton. That's why he's a good coach. He's finding a different formula to win games.
And the Seahawks, Daniel, what's their way out, I guess, here? They got Jacksonville and then a bye, and then hopefully Russ returns, and they go into the final half of the regular season at 3-5 in a division topped by a team that's currently five games in front of them, seven games in. What's your assessment of the Seahawks here,
DJ? Well, they're not winning the division. That ship sailed. But I don't know. Without Russell Wilson, and we can just kind of say flippantly, well, okay, you beat the Jags. I don't think that's a done deal. I think the Jags are coming off a bye, right, because they were just in London.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be coming off a bye. They'll be rested. The Jags, if you take Russell Wilson out of the equation, I can make a strong argument the Jags are a more talented team than the Seahawks.
Wow.
Russell Wilson has been, you know, I always use the phrase like the Febreze. Like, he's just kind of made all that other smell go away on their roster. And now you take him out of their roster, it's a chore. I mean, you have the one big play to DK Metcalf, but it's a chore for them getting first downs. The roster's not very good. And, you know, that's why I wouldn't give them that Jags game. And you come out of that thing, now you're, what would that make, 2-6? You're going to have to play darn near flawless when he comes back to get where you need to be. I mean, that's going to be difficult.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. What have the Bengals done building a roster? What have they done that can be a blueprint, let's just say, for my Jets or anybody else, or the Lions, any team that supposedly is snake bit and has institutional managerial problems that they can't get past, or some sort of bugaboo that the Bengals clearly are on the other side of right now? What have they done, Daniel?
Well, first of all, they've picked high for a very long time.
Right.
And similar to the Cleveland Browns, right? Eventually, you're just going to overwhelm people because you're going to have talent. You're going to have premier players at the premier positions. Joe Burrow is everything and more, you know, what we thought he was going to be. He's an assassin, man. So you've got him. We always talk about with offense, you look at those three P's, right? You look at protection, you look at playmakers, you look at play callers to put that around your quarterback. I think they've got a really good play caller who brings in a tried and true system. I think they've done a nice job with that offensive line. It's not where it needs to be yet, but they've made some upgrades over the last few years. They've gotten better there. And then, you've got a premier young quarterback and the premier young receiver in the NFL. I mean, Jamar Chase is an absolute freak show. So, and then you've got a big time back. So they've surrounded him with a lot of skill talent. So when I look at them, and then you go to the defensive side of the ball, they've got good, solid defensive front with some edge rushers. You know, Jesse Bates is a really good safety. So that's kind of how they've done it. Now, if you look at the Jets, it's TBD on the quarterback. I still think he's got, that game last week, you played like 12 snaps or whatever, 12 dropbacks when I watched all the tape. He did some good things in there, but they need to give him a lot more help up front. They are not good at all, especially without Mekhi Becton. So they've got to get better there, and they need to get him a true number one type receiver. Corey Davis is a nice number two. I think Elijah Moore's got a chance to be a good player. But that's the other area on that. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, they were going to be a front-to-back defense, and you lose Carl Lawson, who was your best pass rusher, and I don't think the interior guys are quite playing up to their capabilities right now. So that's where those issues are, and they're so young in the secondary. You know, that's going to get exposed if you're not getting pressure up front, and it surely did the other day.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Burrow being an assassin. I mean, 400 yards passing against a defense that made Justin Herbert, as Marshall Faulk used the line here last week, turned Herbert into A-Bear, is what he said. This is one of my favorite lines I've heard. So I guess, you know, and you saw that firsthand with what happened to the Chargers in Baltimore. So
I didn't understand that, Rich. I still don't understand that. Like, I came into that game and I watched the tape of the Ravens defense, and I watched Derek Carr torch him, and then I watched Carson Wentz torch them. And then coming to that game, and I thought Herbert would go off and the Chargers passing game would go off, and it just didn't. They just had a clunker of a game. And then you come out the next week and Joe Burrow torches them. So I think the Ravens have major issues in their secondary. And for some reason, the Chargers just weren't able to capitalize on it that day.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the Chargers are now coming off of their bye, taking on New England, and the Raiders. That's what I said as soon as this whole thing with Gruden happened, hashtag let Mayock cook. They put in Rich Bisaccia, and they seem better. They seem better. Do they seem like the best team in the AFC West to you, the Raiders?
They are playing at a very high level right now, Rich. You know, it's hard for me to say they're the best because I was in the building when the Chargers got after them. Mm-hmm. But the the way that they are playing the last 2 weeks. I think this is officially Derek Carr's team. You know, as long as Gruden was there, he was going to be the face of the Raiders. That's John Gruden's team. And I was anxious to see how Derek would take that. It's just basically he's been handed the keys to the car, no pun intended. And he's played as good the last 2 weeks as I've ever seen him play. I mean, he's having a good year. He's taking it to a whole new level. His just confidence that he's playing with, you know, the understanding, the accuracy, everything he's done has been outstanding. So if he's playing like that, yeah, I mean, they're not just a contender inside the division. They're a contender much beyond that. So that's been impressive to see how they've handled that. And I think there is kind of a, you know, with Gruden, you get some of the genius aspect of it, but you also get a lot of chaos and a lot of tension. And I think, and not even talking about what happened in this whole episode, I'm just saying just he's a tornado. And now I think it's a very calming atmosphere with Bisaccia in charge. And I think we've seen that a lot of guys, you know, prefer that environment, and they're thriving.
What about X's and O's? What about all 22? How are they? Is it different without Gruden? And it's Greg Olsen calling the plays here. How different?
Yeah, I haven't seen. I have to look at the next gen stat numbers to get it confirmed. But it seems to me like there's a little less shifting and motioning, and you know they've kind of dialed some of that stuff back a little bit. You know, there's ways that they'll actually give you the numbers on that. That's a good idea. I'll look that up.
Okay.
But everything just seems to be a little bit simplified. I think, you know, I heard David Carr talking about that the other day, and his observations talking about how they've made things a little simpler for everybody to play faster. And that shows up when you watch the tape. I just thought it was just, you know, the ball's coming out. He knows exactly where to go, and it's just really, really efficient. So, and to do that without Waller, who's their best offensive player, even more impressive.
A few more minutes left with Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. So Davante Adams is apparently in danger of missing Thursday night football, having tested positive for COVID. All reports are that he is fully vaccinated, so it could be just he needs two negative tests. It looks doubtful. Let's just put it that way, as somebody who's had a breakthrough case myself. How does that affect things? How do you think Thursday night football plays out now that we're looking over the steering wheel to week number 8? And this could be eventually the difference as to who hosts a championship game and who does not, depending on how everything breaks, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, everything kind of points towards the Cardinals, and I picked the Cardinals in this when you had to turn those in. Which, by the way, I'm going to tell you a great predicting score story right after this. But
okay.
I get this thought, though, Rich. You know Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's almost like there's times where he's so good he can get a little bored. I almost think this one, it's almost like he's going to, you know, tie one arm behind his back, no Davante Adams, and then let me just go show you guys how good I am. I'm going to go out here and beat the undefeated Arizona Cardinals on the road. I mean, it feels like we're kind of set up for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chandler Jones is coming back. I mean, that would be a heck of a unit to do it in front of, because I think I'm through, and J.J. Watt could be picked up on an NFL Films mic saying that he's already sick of the whole concept of are the Cardinals for real? Like, damn straight they are. I mean, like, this is we wouldn't be questioning another team that's 7-0. I mean, we're all kind of trying to wrap our arms around the fact that the Bengals and the Cardinals are top seeded currently through 7 weeks. You are what you are, as Parcells said, and what these teams are threats, considerable threats.
All right. Can I make my picking games confession here?
Yes, sir. Of course.
So, NFL media, I guess this goes on YouTube every week and on the website where it's all the quote unquote expert picks for the games. And you see these all get retweeted after the games are over, right?
Mm-hmm.
For it to live longer, you know, you want the content to live as long as it can. It's not evergreen when you're picking games.
Correct.
They want that to go up on Tuesdays. Mind you, we haven't seen an injury report yet. Like, there's no way to feel good about a selection of a Sunday game on a Tuesday.
That's correct.
It's the way of the world. You got to get it up. So I've got Tuesdays are a busy day. I've got podcasts. I've got some Amazon stuff. I got some Chargers stuff. And so I get these emails or these text messages. Hey, we got to pick the games. You got to pick the games. Can you please pick the games? Can you please turn in the games? And I'm like, you know what? Finally, last week, I'm like, I've had enough. I said, give me the Cardinals 45-10. You can pick the rest, literally what I sent, right?
Okay, yeah.
Well, my ghost picker picked the Bengals to beat the Ravens, which was I was the only one out of like 15 experts to pick the Bengals to beat the Ravens. The Bengals account after the game shouted me out and thanked me for being a believer in the Cincinnati Bengals. Turns out I didn't even make the pick. It wasn't even me. So I felt guilty. I'm carrying around all this guilt for all this love and praise that I'm getting, and it was a ghost pick.
A ghost pick. Wow. I like it. A ghost pick. You want who's your ghost picker? Because I'd like
John Shoppy. Shoppy did a wonderful job on that. I told him, I sent him a text after the game. I also apparently picked the Titans to beat the Chiefs.
You're really good at it, man. You're good at this, Daniel. Daniel, you're really, really good at this. So let's be honest. Did you see your picks by your ghost picker and go, what are you doing with the Bengals? Like, did you think that? Did you at least?
I'm gonna be totally honest with you, Rich. The first time I was aware that I had picked the Bengals was when the Bengals account tweeted out that I had picked the Bengals.
Last one for you, Daniel. Do you think the guy who got the Mike Evans handed the football to, the 600th touchdown pass of Brady's career football to, do you think he should have held out for more, like Brockman and TJ here think that he should have gotten a heck
and
of a lot more?
And Tom Brady, by the way, thinks that?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I'm just imagining little Brockman on Christmas opening up his presents with a frown on his face that he didn't get, you know, 5 Nintendo games that he thought he deserved. Like,
that's coming.
Come on, let's stop being greedy here. Let's just be thankful.
Yes.
That's a good deal. That's a lot he took away from that. Yes, and he doesn't have the animus of his favorite player. I mean, you go out there and you ask for too much. Like, how would you like to live the rest of your life as a Bucks fan knowing that Tom Brady thinks you're a jerk?
Great question, Daniel. That's what I said yesterday. And this is before I found out he got a Bitcoin, too. A Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
3K.
I had to actually look that up, what a Bitcoin cost. I had to look that one up.
Rich is hip, DJ.
Seriously, you guys know exactly down how much a Bitcoin is.
Rich,
you guys know that?
I checked that price 15 times.
Why? Do you have one?
Yeah.
Jeez. Tu salud.
Hey.
Okay, very good. You don't have one, TJ, right? Del Tufo?
I do not.
I'm invested in some... cryptocurrency.
I've got some GBTC stock, which is like some type of a crypto thing.
That's okay. The Bitcoin trust. You're
never
in.
Been on.
That's the trust, DJ. You're good.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
I have some coins from Europe.
Okay, there you go.
If that counts.
You got a euro. Dude in Tampa's got a Bitcoin. TJ's got a euro. There you go. That's your up to speed. All right. Hey, man. Congrats on your great Bengals pick. Very proud of you.
A lot of research, a lot of study, and it's what separates the men from the boys, Rich.
Take care of yourself, Daniel Jeremiah. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Check out Move the Sticks, the podcast with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, and then, of course, the Twitter account, Instagram account, at Move the Sticks for DJ right here on The Rich Eisen Show. So you're still now thinking Brady didn't give this fan enough. I mean, just real
I mean,
quick,
I,
real,
I still would have held on to the ball.
Okay, we have to discuss this a little bit.
Yeah,
Mike Tomlin held his press conference today. He speaks once a week during the week. Today is the day he speaks on Tuesday. Just a quiz for everybody out there. Mm. Just a quick quiz, quick question before we throw to break. Do you think, A,
okay,
Mike Tomlin said no comment because he didn't want to play it any mind?
Right.
Or B, commented with leaving the door open.
Okay.
C, commented and hammered that thing shut so tight that there is no coffin sealed tighter than what Tomlin just placed this rumor that USC is interested in him and potentially that could be possible.
Yeah, hit it, Mike.
I'll rain down my judgment and we'll move forward.
I'm going to go with C.
Okay. All right. Either way, A, B, or C, you shouldn't move. We will discuss this when we come back on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Patrick Mahomes still on our rundown with my four downs because it's a Tuesday.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Our good buddy, my longtime friend, Dan Patrick, had a moment on his show yesterday, which we're all, anybody who's in this business, this is what you want. You want a guest coming in, okay, a regularly scheduled guest who you love and loves calling into the show, and so you have a comfort level interviewing this person.
Yeah.
And that person has a comfort level being interviewed by you. And, you know, it's all fair game when you're on live radio and TV, when you ask a question and the answer comes back and it kind of sits you upright in your chair and you're like, what? And of course, Dan is the master of interviewing and listening, taking it in and following up and drilling down to the absolute point of what are you talking about? Whether it's either Batman saying he's here to, you know, pay fealty to Qualcomm back in the day, yesterday Carson Palmer, who was on our show Friday,
he was.
Dan asked him, you know, hey, are you involved in the coach at your alma mater, USC, the search for a new coach there? And Carson Palmer said yes, that he's, you know, part of just chit-chatting about it, and he mentioned that there's many front runners. So Dan hit him up and said, you can't have multiple front runners. There's a front runner. And that followed up with an answer of Carson saying, well, there's Penn State and Iowa State and Cincinnati. And, you know, they already have coaches. He's mentioning now coaches that USC is interested in. And then he throws out Mike Tomlin's name. All right. Mm-hmm. And Dan's follow up to that was, is Mike Tomlin's name being mentioned? And Carson Palmer said, you know, talked about how great a job USC is, and that's the benefit that they were the first to have an opening, and there's a lot of people who would be interested in it. All right. So now it's time for Tomlin's turn. This is now dropped in his lap, out of the sky, no doubt out of the blue, because you can't blame USC or Carson Palmer if you're making up a wish list, if you're making up a list of who you'd like. Of course Mike Tomlin would be on the list. My goodness.
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
The issue is okay, before we get to Tomlin's response. When you talk to somebody about, do you want to coach in college or the pros? Mm-hmm. And you're seeing Urban Meyer's transition, let's put it, say, choppy at best, okay? Mm. That's being very generous, yeah. Choppy.
Generous.
Like the air on the flight that he wasn't on.
There wasn't.
Okay, so... You know, but Urban can wind up being as successful as, say, Pete Carroll by the end of the day.
Could be.
Never know.
He's got a great quarterback.
He sure does. And a management team that is behind him as much as they possibly can be. So you're saying the transition from college to the pros is one thing. Then the going from pro to college, now you're recruiting. The pro of it is you get, like Urban used to have, five great players at every position, as opposed to you just draft one choice per round.
Right.
And even then, sometimes you don't have all seven. The issue is you're out recruiting all the time, though. You're constantly going. You're going to the, you know, households of 18-year-olds and asking them, hey, do you want to come play for me? But the benefit of all of going to college as opposed to pros is that if you win, you're there forever. You don't have to worry about your job security like you do in the NFL. In the NFL. But there's one job in the NFL where you don't get fired. And they're constantly extending your contract because you do well. That's all you got to do. Is they don't fire coaches. I'm 52 years old. The Steelers have had three head coaches, Noel, Cower, and this man, who today stepped to the podium and had this to say about what happened on Dan's show yesterday.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation.
I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
Anyone else?
All right. Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
Whoa.
Put some respect on Mike Tomlin.
That is amazing.
Way to go, Mike.
This is incredible.
Well, nobody's asking Andy or Sean about that because that wasn't a name that was thrown out on a nationally syndicated radio and television show that's highly popular and that precedes this one every day. So, but, so there wasn't even a Michael Jordan 0.5% chance thrown out there.
No, that was never say never.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. You're in like the one position in the NFL that has college coaching tenure to it, you know? The Pittsburgh Steelers, why would he want to go out here to Los Angeles, start something new, learn a new craft, go to a new place that, I mean, I don't even need to go further down. There's one thing that I have heard that I'll just throw this one out about Mike Tomlin. If he just decides to ever want to stop coaching the Steelers for whatever reason that he would have, would be professional broadcasting. Mm-hmm. I think every network would trip over themselves to see if Tomlin would want to do that. Immediately, if not sooner. That sort of delivery would be kind of, you could get that comment right there in between snaps. You know what I mean? You know? There's a 40-second play clock going down. Coach, you want to fill the time right there? That's the guy that can fill the time with a very compelling piece of commentary.
That I wouldn't captures, say
that never, captures your attention.
Never say never throw that pass, but never throw that pass.
I would never say never, but never. That has to be Mike Del Tufo and the rest of our crew a new drop. Never say never, but never.
So good.
And just everybody who's listening on the radio right now, seek out this segment or wherever, this press conference. Just you have to see it. It's even better seeing it.
Yeah, you have to look at that man's face. Like, I think there were
fear permeated through that.
He's pissed.
He's coming off a bye. He's got the Browns, okay? Yeah, he's pissed. This is a big week. It's literally the last thing he wants or needs or asked for. Which leads me again to, who's the person who informs the coach who's in the bunker of these things? Hey, Mike, just got to, just you know, something that's going to be brought up today. USC, what?
Yes, the same guy who goes to Art Rooney?
Or went to Coughlin. Hey, look, right. I got to tell you something about what Odell's up to. Hour two, Patrick Mahomes coming up.